This is 91.7 KALW San Francisco, and now it's time for everyone's favorite panel game quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with Dana Rodriguez, Kira Pace, and Lori Fisher.
If you ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. Gotta be this or that.
And now, here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Happy Pride Day, everybody. We hope you had a wonderful time if you went to the parade or stay home and watch it on TV or whatever. But we hope you had a great day nevertheless. And we also hope you can spend an hour with us tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we're looking for that participation out there. Our lines are open right now. It's a great time to call in if you have a question for us. Or if you'd like to wait a couple minutes, you'll hear one of ours to you. We'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So all you have to do is call in. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134. And we have a toll-free number. Yes, we really do. 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. Just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral one. So again, that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. If you'd like to hear this show online, you can do that actually right now just by going to the live stream at kalw.org. And if you'd like to listen to the podcast, it should be available reasonably soon after our show tonight, also at kalw.org, and, of course, iTunes and a lot of other places. So all that being said, we are going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Kira Pace wishes everyone happy Pride today and year-round. Also, she's starting with a list question tonight, so get ready to write.
To list.
Right. To list.
Yeah.
To one side.
Yeah. Either side.
Mm-hmm. Just want to make sure everybody has their pencils ready.
It's a good warning.
Yeah. So just back from the Minds Over Matter Scandinavian Goodwill Tour and an exploration of its beautiful waterways, our regular panelist has now changed his show business name to Lori Fisher.
Like Fjord.
Like Fjord.
Yeah, I know.
It's clear that there's a J in there.
It is, yeah. There's a, I now spell Fisher with a J.
Yeah.
A silent J, yeah.
That's Fjord.
Yeah, and if only the Senate could have as many sequins and glitter as he saw today, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, would be happy.
All right. And that is us, and we'll begin with Ms. Kira Pace.
Right. So Polari, which means talk in Polari, was a secretive argot used by the gay community, and particularly the British gay community, for most of the 20th century. Some words like butch, drag, and trade are still in use today. Some words are maybe not so much in use right now. So I am going to give you some Polari words, and each of them has a definition. And for each word, I just want the what it means, each word used for Polari. So here's the list.
How many?
There's a dozen.
Ooh.
Basket. Bijou. That's B-I-J-O-U. Bona. B-O-N-A. Dolly. D-O-L-L-Y. E-calf. That's E-C-A-F. Naff, which is N-A-F-F. Nishta, which is N-I-S-H-T-A. Omi, which is O-M-E-E. Orbs. Polone.
How do you spell Polone?
Or Polone. It's P-A-L-O-N-E. Plate. Troll. And zhuzh. Z-H-U-Z-H. So I'll just read them real quick and then give you each a couple. Basket. Bijou, Bona, Dolly, Ecaf, Naf, Nishta, Omi, Orbs, Polone, Plate, Troll, and Zhuzh. So, do you know any of these?
Do you want to go first?
I have a guess on two.
All right.
We get two each?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And they are just guess. I'm going to go with orbs or eyes.
That is correct. Orbs or eyes.
And I'm going to, that one I sort of thought I knew. And then is nishta nothing or zilch?
That one is based on Yiddish. Yes.
Yeah.
Nishta nothing.
Oh, I was going to say in Yiddish, nisht is nothing. Yeah.
No, that's correct. A lot of Polari comes from Romani words from Yiddish.
Oh, nice.
Others come from Latin and French. And then there's some Cockney rhyme slang in there. There's a lot of.
Well, I would run the board, but those are the only two I'm going to guess on.
I'm sort of seeing these in terms of American gay slang.
Which some of it has made it there, and some of it came from American gay slang.
But I'll start with the one that I'm not sure about, which is naff. Is that a variation on naive or knave? Somebody who's new to, you know, doesn't know much about gay life?
Not quite. Not that, no.
All right. Is basket what is referred to here as your privates? Wearing tight pants?
The bulge of male genitals through clothes. That
right.
is a basket, yes.
Okay. All right. And troll, of course, is, well, it's just what is referred to here as a older gay man, persistent gay man.
I think it's sort of
overly persistent.
Well, I think it started as a verb. And so I'm looking
to troll
for the
somebody,
verb.
Okay.
Or just to troll.
Then
not to troll somebody.
Is it an older man who's cruising?
It's cruising, yeah,
okay.
To walk around looking for sex.
All right, so,
but nothing to do with the older man.
No, not necessarily.
Or even,
okay.
I mean, or even kind of unsavory. I think we saw a lot of trolls in Norway, and
right.
they were all kind of unsavory.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I think maybe it sort of developed into that, but it started. Basically, like cruising. It's cruising, trolling, looking around, walking around.
All right.
But does it have a positive connotation?
If you're positive that you want to have sex, then yeah.
Is it like fishing, that kind of trolling, you think?
No, in a sense.
I don't know.
Our studio audience thought that.
Yeah. All right. So why don't you read the ones that are left?
Okay. Here are the ones that are left. Bijou, Bona, Dolly, Ecaf, Naf, Omi, Polone, Plate, and zhuzh.
Is zhuzh a verb?
It is a verb.
Okay.
And it's spelled Z-H-U-Z-H?
Yeah, it's got a couple spellings, but yes, that's the way I have it written down right here.
All right. And Lori, why don't you go ahead?
All right. Well, I, as I said, was on the Scandinavian Goodwill Tour, and so a lot about one of my favorite topics, Nobel Prizes. So my questions are all about the Nobel Prize. Only two people have won unshared Nobel Prizes in two different categories. So my first question, who are the two people who have won unshared, meaning they won them not sharing with anybody else, in two different categories? That's first one. Second one is about literature. Who's the oldest person to win the Nobel Prize for Literature, and who's the youngest? And the hint I'll give you is they both wrote in the English language. So that eliminates a lot of people. And this one might be a giveaway. I'm not sure. Only one Nobel Prize, is not awarded in Sweden. Which one is it, and why is it not awarded in Sweden? So I'll give you guesses until you get one right.
Well, the one that's not awarded in Sweden is the Peace Prize.
Yeah.
And that's awarded in Oslo.
Right. It is. Do you know why?
Because that's where they have the building.
No. The building came after the decision.
Wasn't it agreed to be shared, wasn't it? Because Alfred Nobel was he Norwegian or Swedish?
He was Swedish.
Swedish.
It's kind of innocuous. He wanted one not to be given out in Sweden. And so he picked one. He said one will be in Oslo. And they were sort of a united thing at the time. And
right.
It's a separate selection committee and all that. So I'll give you the bell on that one. So the only Nobel not to be awarded in Sweden is the Nobel Peace Prize.
The youngest, and at least, I don't know if he's the youngest anymore. At the time he was the youngest, was Kipling.
He still is. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
He was 41 years old in 1907.
Okay.
Very good.
And I think one of the people that won two of the prizes by themselves, is that Linus Pauling?
It is. And what did he win them in?
One is peace, isn't it? And then the other is at chemistry?
Very nice.
All right.
Give yourself a bell and a half for that one.
All right.
Carrie, you got any more guesses? So we're looking for the other person to win unshared, two unshared awards, and the oldest lit winner.
No, I'm going to guess that the other unshared is probably an economist, and I have no idea. I don't know.
It's not an economist.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I don't think there's ever been a repeat on an economist.
Well, I was thinking economist, maybe like Economist in Peace or Economist.
Oh, I see what
like
you
that.
Mean. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. We'll leave it out there for the rest.
Okay. And the two numbers to join us, we have some lines open, 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Again, this is for a question or answer, so you can ask us a question on your own. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi, you're on.
Okay, this is Ed. How are you?
Good.
So I have a question. This is called the oldest peace treaty in human history. It happened in 1259 B.C., and that is 3,260 years ago. It was called the Silver Treaty for some reason. Do you know what the two countries involved?
It was called what?
It actually ended.
What was it called?
It ended 100-year war between two countries. Which countries?
I'm sorry, what was the name of the treaty again, Ian?
Silver Treaty.
As in S-I-L?
Silver Treaty.
V-E-R? Silver?
Silver, like the, yeah. Because it was written, that actually there is a copy of it in Istanbul, written silver. It is silver. Silver tablet with the whole peace treaty on it.
Well, so was it...
I give you a hint.
Was it Egypt and Persia?
No, not Persia. Egypt is correct.
Egypt and Greece?
No. Before Greece existed. That was 1259 B.C.
Okay.
Long time before Greece.
So... but Egypt is one of the countries.
Egypt, definitely one of the countries, was under Ramesses the Great. Ramesses II.
Macedonia?
No.
Not old enough?
You are in the you're pretty much close by region. A country that actually was bigger than all of them, not as big as Egypt or as powerful as Egypt. At that time, Egypt, you know, pretty much extended up to the border of the Black Sea. So it included Palestine, Syria, and so on. So there was always a battle between these two countries. A little bit north of Syria. What do you think the country would be?
So, north of Syria is the Turkey.
That's it. Turkey.
Oh,
Turkey it is. Yeah. And it had different name then. It used to be called Anatolia, and before Anatolia was called the Hittite. So the treaty was signed by Ramesses II, and the Hittite king, his name is kind of difficult to pronounce, but it is Hattusilis, Hattusilis, and actually a copy of the treaty in silver in Istanbul, the other copy at the Karnak in Egypt, you know, at the Karnak temple in Egypt. Actually, you can read it today, of course, in hieroglyphic, but it is just tremendous. It actually did end a 100-year war between Egypt and the Hittites. It's tremendous. One last thing I'd just like to mention. I'd like to all of us to ask the soul of Otto Warmbier, I guess I spell it.
Right.
W-E-R.
Warmbier.
I-E-R.
Right.
Yeah, all of us ask, because that joke that happened in North Korea yesterday, it really is a very sad joke. That man was murdered by the murderers. I'm not like to pronounce his name, Jung Yu, whatever it is, Jung Kwon, whatever his name is. Yeah, all of us should really ask. That man was murdered by the North Korean for no reason, and they keep murdering people every day. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ian.
Bye-bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. We do have lines open right now if you want to give us a call with a question or answer. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. All right. Let me give you a couple of questions here. There was an article in the paper the other day that the median age in the United States has gotten about 3 or 4 years older. And I think because of the birth rate's gone down slightly. But there's only one state in the U.S. where the median age has gotten younger. What's the one state in the U.S. where the median age has actually gotten younger, not older?
Well, I'm going with my standby in states. How about Utah? Because they still have a big birth rate.
Not Utah.
No.
There's a reason for it, and there's a quite a specific reason for it.
And is it the reason that there's a high birth rate or a lower death rate? Or neither?
It's neither.
Okay.
Actually.
So young people might be flooding there.
Do you want to guess?
I want to think about it for a second.
All right.
Does it have to do where people are moving, like young people are moving there because there's jobs and high-tech
mm-hmm.
stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, again, the median age in the U.S. overall, for all the states, has gotten older. It's about 3 or 4 years older than the last time they did this. And except for one state. What is the one U.S. state where the median age is actually less than it was a few years ago? Okay. Second question. There are only two athletes to ever appear on a Wheaties box 50 years apart. Who are the two athletes that appeared on Wheaties boxes at least 50 years apart?
You mean the same person?
Same person. Yes. Two famous athletes have appeared on Wheaties boxes.
Two times each?
Okay. Over 50 years apart.
And were they deceased the second time they appeared?
One, yes, and the other I'm not quite sure of.
That's a good question. Well, smart.
So, I want on the record that Dana has asked a quasi-related sports question.
Very quasi. Yeah. It's more breakfast cereal related to me.
It's not a Wheaties. So is Jackie Robinson one of them?
No. That's a good guess, though.
Yeah, well, that's why I asked guess. if he would have been dead for the second one.
So who are the only two athletes to appear on Wheaties boxes twice, 50 years apart?
What about Muhammad Ali?
Very good guess also, but no.
Okay.
When the second time they appeared, was it the 50th commemoration of something great they had done the first time they had done, like an Olympic, that kind of thing?
Possible for one, but not for the other.
They couldn't still be
both very well-known names.
Yeah,
and they have to be, you know, they have to be at least, I'd say, 70 years old at this point.
I don't think any child athletes
right
have been on that I know about.
They were not child athletes, when they became famous.
Yeah, and that'd be very rare.
So
it's interesting. It's a great question.
So this says to me it's probably not going to be a basketball player. I really want it. Like, I expect it to be something more like baseball.
It could be anybody in that they certainly weren't performing as an athlete when they were 70. I don't think anybody would be doing that. A golfer might, you know, be back. And there have been golfers on the Wheaties boxes.
All right. Let me ask the two questions once more. The median age for almost all states in the U.S. has gotten older, a couple years older, except for one state. What is the one state where the median age has actually gotten younger? And who are the only two athletes to appear on the Wheaties cereal boxes twice over 50 years apart? So two athletes to appear on Wheaties boxes twice, but 50 years, at least 50 years apart.
What about Joe DiMaggio?
Good guess, but no, not Joe DiMaggio.
Did the Wheaties thing started in about the 30s? Is that correct?
Yeah, 1934.
For athletes.
Yeah.
I think Lou Gehrig was maybe the first. They were big on Olympic athletes, mm-hmm. so I'm trying to think of those who would have done that.
Well, that's why I was thinking, like, Mary Lou Retton. She didn't do, like, her, mm-hmm. like, her stuff didn't happen 50 years ago. That was, you know, I was 80.
Should we not make any assumptions about the genders of these two athletes?
No.
Well,
50 years
they're
apart,
men.
There's
going to
be
they're men.
Men.
Yeah, I'll help you with that.
Babe Zaharias appeared very early in the 30s, mm-hmm. so that there were a couple Olympic and the women tennis player. Yeah, Helen Wills.
A couple of the early ones were women.
Yeah,
so
that
were
surprisingly.
It's just
early.
That these two happen to be men.
Yeah,
and the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Excuse me. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
Hi, my name is Alexandra from San Francisco.
Hi.
I was wondering if the state where the median age has gone down is California.
It is not California.
Huh. Okay. And is the other person who won two Nobel Prizes Marie Curie?
Say the name again.
is the other person who earned two Nobel Prizes in different categories, Marie Curie.
It is. Very good. And what did she win them in? Do you remember?
Was it physics and chemistry?
It was. Thank you. 1903 and 1911. Excellent.
She didn't share them? I thought she had to share one with her husband.
She didn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Not according to my sources, yeah. I thought you did, too, but that's not how she
says it. Thank you very much.
Very good.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. And next call.
Hello.
Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Wheaties Box is Jesse Owens.
Jesse Owens is one of them. Yes, very good.
Nice.
67 years apart, actually, 1936 and 2003.
And how come he was in 2003?
I do not know. All right. I could not find that out.
That's good.
But thank you. And Kira, it is your turn.
Okay. Last week I asked about the only Billboard Hot 100 number one song to feature a typewriter, which was 9 to 5. This week I'm going to ask about the first Billboard Hot 100 number one song to feature the sitar.
Is it a Beatles song?
That's not a surprise. It is a Beatles song.
So it's either Norwegian Wood.
It's Norwegian Wood.
Yeah. Yes.
Isn't it good, Norwegian Wood?
Yeah, I think George Harrison was like notably one of the first Westerns, like famous Western sitar players.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. When they went to the Maharishi, he came back with a sitar and put it on Norwegian Wood and Within You, Without You.
Yeah. Go ahead, ask another question.
All right. Another one that'll probably get picked off pretty quickly.
Well, that's a good question, though.
Thank you. What Queen of Las Vegas became the city's highest paid female performer in 1979?
79. So it's too soon for Celine Dion, right? She wouldn't, because she became the biggest.
Oh, no, yeah, not 79. Celine Dion.
And Queen of Las Vegas, is that like somebody we would associate with Las Vegas? So this is, because when Barbara Streisand was
I don't
there,
know she, your head.
Is this person still alive?
Do you know? I don't know.
What was your question?
I don't remember.
Is it possibly asked if they were still alive? Is it possibly Anne Margaret?
It's not Anne Margaret.
Okay.
Well, that's pretty good for 1979.
Well, that's about her era, and she was in Las Vegas doing a show for a long time.
Yeah.
You don't know, but she was the Queen of Las Vegas. Huh. I mean, you don't know if she was still alive or not.
Correct.
It's too soon for... How about Cher?
No, not Cher.
Okay. Because she's had a rest. I'm trying to think, but that's 79. Wow.
Yeah. Okay, why don't you ask the question?
Joey Heatherton. How about that?
No.
Or the great Joey Heatherton. Is
she's
like
a fantastic dancer.
Yes.
What Queen of Las Vegas became the city's highest paid female performer in 1979?
Should we think of her? Can you give us a hint? Like,
she's not a rock. I don't think it's a rock person.
Yeah. It's more of a...
Is it Liza Minnelli?
It's not Liza Minnelli.
That's a great guess. But is it more Liza Minnelli than Janis Joplin, say?
I think that's fair. That's fair.
Okay. All right. Think it over. And the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. You are listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight, technical editor Kira Pace, teacher at Davo Valley College, Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And Lori, why don't you go ahead?
All right. I know. This is I sort of borrowed this from Josh Cosman in a different context. So I'm interested now in the largest American cities that begin with each vowel, E-E-I-O-U, and we'll throw in Y just for fun. So I'm interested in largest American city by population, by vowel, and have at it.
Is it Yuma, Arizona?
It is not. That's third.
It's not Youngstown, Ohio.
Youngstown's fifth. So no to both of those.
All right. Okay. A-E-I-O-U.
A-E-I-O.
Clearly Ypsilanti, Michigan. Ybor City, Florida. No.
Ypsilanti would be great, but they're not on the list. I didn't write them all down. I wrote down two or three for each one.
Just one quick question. Would you say that any of these, are there really large cities that start with any of these letters?
Four of them are above 500,000. None of them are a million.
Okay. All right.
So those are large. Two of them seems kind of smallish to me. I was surprised. But four of them are big old, you know, above a half a million to me is big enough to consider them big.
Is I Indianapolis?
It is. Okay. 863,000.
All right.
What about O for Oklahoma City?
Oklahoma City is number one. 643,000.
And Very A good. For Atlanta?
No.
Okay.
That's third.
Austin?
Yes.
There we go.
It came up in the KALW when I did the same thing, and I figured you might not remember.
All right,
so let's leave the rest out there. We're looking for the largest American city for E, U, and Y. We got Austin, Indianapolis, and Oklahoma City.
All right, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hey. Colin from Oakland.
Hi.
So I had a question. There's an actor who was in two productions that I'm not really sure how to phrase this. One was, they're both consecutive integers. The titles of the productions were consecutive integers.
Like 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
So James Cagney was in that. Is that one of them?
But each production was only one integer.
Oh, you're saying that there's a performer who is in two different films and each
two
film?
Two different productions.
So, in other words, one would be a movie that has just theoretically the one in it, and the other would be two or three or two.
Okay, so like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and The Two Japes?
No.
That's
well, close, but no. The productions are just the integers.
Oh, just the names of the... Okay, so just like the movie 9.
Yes, like that.
Okay.
And is it a single digit, or might it be like 1941?
It's a single digit. And it's... there might be other actors, but I only know of one particular performer.
All right. Okay.
This works for.
So it has to be between, it's either 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Is that
I think. Okay. It's not 8.5.
Well, since you're cutting it down.
Or 9.5.
Could it be 8.5 and 9?
No,
he said
they're,
integers.
They're whole numbers.
1. Zero. But so I'm sorry, just to be clear. So the title of the movie is the whole, is just the one number. In other words,
correct.
Okay.
And you keep using the word production. Is the word movie okay here? Like, are they both
one
movies?
One of the productions is a movie.
And the other one is a television show?
It's not a television show.
Broadway play?
Not a Broadway play.
A song?
One hint is that if you're a KALW listener on a regular basis, you may have caught this production recently.
This has to be a number.
It's a radio show.
It was played on a radio show.
It's a song.
No.
Okay. If there's a song, one.
It was played on.
It was
a story.
It was a production for radio.
Okay.
Produced for radio.
With a single digit as its title.
I'll give you another hint. The movie was from the mid-90s.
Okay. So
once we get to productions, we're going to nail the actor.
Oh, of course. Yeah, it's 7. That's the movie. So 6 or 8, then is there... What radio production is called 6 or 8? I have no idea. You're telling all the people in
Morgan,
7, though.
Morgan Freeman and Brad Pitt were in
and
7.
And Kevin Spacey and Gwyneth Paltrow.
Right.
So you're obviously closing in on it. And it's actually, seeing as that this month was Pride Month and this weekend was Pride Weekend, it kind of has to do with that. So,
oh, Lord, I hope
pretty much give you the answer.
Please tell me it's not Kevin Spacey, though.
No.
Okay.
No, it's... It's Brad Pitt.
Okay. Brad Pitt, okay.
In?
Was in Seven,
right,
the movie,
right,
and was in Eight, the production for L.A.
Theater
Oh,
Works?
For Prop
LA
Eight,
Theater
right?
Works, yeah,
oh,
the production
okay,
of Eight,
okay, okay.
Which was about the
the Prop Eight thing?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
California Prop 8.
I'm sorry we didn't do a little bit better with that, but
it only you slowly but surely whittled it down.
All right.
It only took us a half an hour,
yeah,
so no
right.
problem.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, so I was doing, being the, one of the few people left apparently who like still likes breakfast cereal, I was doing some research on advertising characters for breakfast cereals. So I have a list of eight. These are advertising characters, or mascots, however you'd like to put it, for breakfast cereals. Most of the cereals are still around, but some of them are not. I don't think there's anything older than the 70s or 80s here. So anyway, so these are eight character, mascot characters, advertising characters for American breakfast cereals, and I want you to tell me the cereal, okay? All right, number one, Klondike Pete. Number two, Buzz Bee. Number three, Cornelius Rooster. Number four, Dig'em Frog.
You just like saying these.
Yeah, I do. Number five, Sunny the Sun. That's terribly imaginative.
Of course.
And number six, Toucan Sam. Number seven, Linus the Lionhearted. And number eight, Chip the Wolf. So again, I'll give you each one guess. These are mascot advertising characters for American breakfast cereals. I want you to tell me the cereals involved. Number one, Klondike Pete. Number two, Buzz Bee. Number three, Cornelius Rooster. Number four, Dig'em Frog. Number five, Sunny the Sun. Number six, Toucan Sam. Number seven, Linus the Lionhearted. Number eight, Chip the Wolf. I used to stare at these things on boxes.
I was hoping you'd ask Captain Crunch as a giveaway.
No.
Horatio Crunch.
No.
So I think I know one.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Toucan Sam is Fruit Loops.
Toucan Sam is Fruit Loops. Very good.
I'm going to go, I know a few of these, but I'm going to go with one that's a guess because I had no idea the name of the sun. Did they name the Raisin Bran sun Sunny the Sun?
They did.
Oh,
really?
Yes.
You know, I guess if you give a sun some sunglasses, you may as well throw a name on there.
So they figured the cereal was successful enough. They didn't really have to put much imagination into it, I guess. Yeah, Sunny the Sun is Raisin Bran and Toucan Sam is Fruit Loops. So we're still looking for Klondike Pete, Buzz Bee, Cornelius Rooster, Dig'em Frog, Linus the Lionhearted, and Chip the Wolf.
Are all your questions going to be cereal related?
No, no.
So far, they are.
I
like them.
It was an unmined area.
It really is.
And I'm running out of unmined areas. Let's put it that way.
Can I take my guess now about Younger State?
Sure.
All right. I probably shouldn't do it now. It's a, Florida.
No.
Okay.
Not Florida.
How about Iowa?
Joanne, our board op tonight, has guessed Utica for you.
Yeah, so it's not Utica.
It's not Utica, Joanne.
Utica is second. And she for Cornelius the Rooster,
and
she's guessing
she
Kellogg's.
She did guess correctly on Cornelius the Rooster or Cornelius Rooster, and that is Kellogg's Corn Flakes. Very good. And
the state for the younger trend?
Yes.
How about Iowa?
Not Iowa.
All right.
Okay, so let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hi. It's Fran in San Francisco.
Hi, Fran.
Hiya. I'm going to guess Willie Mays on the Wheaties.
Not Willie Mays. It is a baseball player, however.
Oh, all right.
Can I guess Oregon for the state?
It is not Oregon.
No. Okay, I have one question tonight.
Mm-hmm.
What is Michelle Obama's maiden name?
Oh, I should know this.
I should.
Well, a lot of things I should know, but I don't.
I think I'll know when I hear it.
Yes.
What is her name?
I don't think I ever knew.
I'm sure I've read it many times. Of course, her brother's a coach and
basketball coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should have.
It's his name, too.
It's his name, too.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't remember. Mm-mm.
Okay, so do you want me to tell you?
Uh-huh.
I believe it's Robinson.
Yes, I believe you're right.
That sounds
very
good. Yeah.
Okay, everybody. Good to hear the show tonight.
Thank you.
How about the Wheaties box, Mickey Mantle?
Not Mickey Mantle. And we're a little past halfway, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Carrie, what do you have?
Sure. What queen of Las Vegas became the city's highest paid performer in 1979? And also, Polari, I give you some words in Polari, and I'm asking for what they mean. The words we have left are Bijou, Bona, Dolly, Ecaf, Naf, Omi, Polone, Plate, and Troll. I'm sorry, and Zhuzh.
I have a Queen of Las Vegas question. Is she more of a movie star dancer type than singer type? Because I'm thinking Shirley MacLaine.
I'm not Shirley MacLaine, no.
Okay, but am I more? Is it more Shirley MacLaine than it is Liza Minnelli?
I'd say more Liza Minnelli.
Okay, so kind of showbiz, Broadway.
Yeah. I don't know this person's entire filmography, but I still think Liza Minnelli is a closer.
And this person would sing and dance and tell jokes and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
My unanswered question, I'm looking for the oldest winner in age of the Nobel Prize for Literature. The youngest was Rudyard Kipling. I'm looking for the three American states that have the largest population that begin with the letter E, the letter U, it's not Utica, and the letter Y.
The median age for the U.S. has gotten a little bit older. There's only one state where the median age has actually gotten younger. What is that state? And there have been two athletes that have appeared 50 years apart on Wheaties boxes. In other words, each athlete has appeared at least 50 years apart on a Wheaties box. So far we have Jesse Owens, that's one of them, in 1936 and 2003, actually 67 years. Who is the other? And I gave you some advertising characters from breakfast cereals, the ones we have left. Tell me the cereal involved. Klondike Pete, Buzz Bee, Dig'em Frog, Linus the Lionhearted, and Chip the Wolf.
And a quick correction. I said states. I meant the biggest population of American cities. I said states.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Did you repeat that part?
I did.
So do we have left on there?
We have E, U, and Y. And I'm looking for cities, not states.
E, U, and Y.
Yeah.
Right. Y.
Hmm. For you, what about Union City, Pennsylvania?
Correct.
Yay.
Yeah, very good.
Really, very
yeah.
good.
Okay.
Good job.
Stop doing
wait.
Cities.
No, it's right, but I think it's Union City, California.
Oh,
I
okay.
Think, yeah. Oh. It's 75,000 people.
So I was wrong.
Well, I'm giving you, I stopped listening at Union City, so it's right. Yeah, 75,000 people. That's correct.
And then, so there's more people in Union City, California than there are in Utica, New York.
Utica has 61,000 and Union City has 75,000. Yep.
Okay.
And then for younger city, younger state, what about Maryland?
Not Maryland.
Okay.
And let's see. Where are we here? Okay, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hey, Peter.
For the state, how about Delaware?
Not Delaware.
Okay. And for the E city, how about Eugene, Oregon?
It's not Eugene. That's third. It's third.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. It's very good. Eugene, Oregon has 168,000. This city has 683,000, so it's five times bigger.
Okay. Last week we talked about the song You've Lost That Lovin' Feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for the name of a vocalist who had an uncredited backup vocalist on that song.
On the Righteous Brothers recording?
On the Righteous Brothers recording.
Oh.
It was just the beginning of a long career. Which makes this vocalist the only song artist to have a number one hit on a Billboard chart in six consecutive decades.
Oh, I thought that was Elton John.
No.
Elton John wouldn't have had six decades. It's too many.
Six consecutive decades.
Did this person have a credit for singing background vocals? Or
no,
just,
no credit.
But they happened to be on, and then after that, they had a career in the 70s, 80s, 90s, et cetera.
Yep.
What, 70s, 80s, 90s. This person still alive?
Yes.
This person still recording?
Could be.
Six decades. But is this person well known as a soloist?
No. In fact, was in a duo group for the first part of the career.
Oh. As a singer.
And is this a male? Are we talking about a male singer?
No.
Okay, there we go. So, let's see. I know Cher had a lot of decades. Is it Cher?
It is Cher.
Okay.
Very good.
Yes.
Very good.
I didn't have to give you the Groundhog Day hint.
So Cher is a background singer in You've Lost That Love and Feeling.
She's actually done some background singing in a lot of weird
but
songs.
She was hanging out with
Phil Spector.
Yeah.
Is that like 60?
64, I believe.
64.
Okay. Yeah. And I Got You, Babe came out the next year.
Yeah. Wouldn't she have been like 12 then?
Well, young.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, that's great.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That's a great question.
And whose turn is it? Your turn, Kira?
Is it?
All right.
What is it?
Thanks.
Is it your turn?
I think it's Kira's.
All right, Kira, it's your turn.
All right. I'll
make
just,
an executive here's, decision.
Here's a quick question. What's the anthem of the European Union?
It's Beethoven's Ninth Symphony.
Mm.
Was that correct?
Ode to Joy?
Ode to Joy. There we go.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's, wow. That's great.
Yeah.
All right. And Laurie, you go ahead.
All right. I have a follow-up question, kind of the first one, and then a longer one. My last Nobel Prize question of the night is, who was nominated the most times for the Nobel Peace Prize without winning? That's one question. And then I have an unrelated question. Well, I'll just leave it at that. I brought in that as an extra thing.
Is it Gandhi?
It is. Very good.
Okay.
And he died. He would have won that year, supposedly, but they won't give it posthumously if you haven't won. That's a strict rule that they have.
All right.
Then I'll ask my other question, which is, this is donated, suggested by Sue Schweik, of all people. You know when they read you your rights, you know, you have the right to remain silent.
Miranda rights.
In that specific language that we all know, you have the right to remain silent. You know, if you choose to give up that right, that kind of thing, that exact language.
Right.
That's not in the law, and it's not in the Constitution. Where does it come from? That thing that we see in every movie, and in fact, if you have been read your rights, you've been read that. It comes from neither of those places.
Well, wasn't it a court case?
No.
Okay.
Having to read you your rights is, but not, and what
the rights
themselves are. But that specific land, you have a right to remain silent. If you give up that right, you know, that can and will be used against
it. Is that
the right to an attorney? It'll be provided that thing that we almost know by heart, it's that.
Is that English common law?
No.
So it comes from all the rights that you are read, it comes from one specific place.
And then it became popularized again. And it's all post-Miranda, because you didn't have Miranda rights until that court case. So that was 54, 55.
Perry Mason?
Close.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's part two of the answer. There's two parts
Dragnet.
To the answer. That's part two of the answer.
What is it?
Dragnet. In a 1967 episode of Dragnet, Jack Webb wanted the exact language to use, and it was a case about LSD of all things, and he read it. So that's half of it. The first half is, where did Jack Webb get it from? Because Jack Webb did not write it. He got it from someplace in the universe.
Oh.
That's the first part of the question.
He usually talked about Mary Jane.
I think they did mention Mary. Well, that would have been a pot episode, but
right.
You know, the kid's on acid and read him his rights and those rights. So, yeah, Sue Schweik investigated this.
Good
so
job.
We're looking for the – well, we're only half done. We're looking for the original source where Jack Webb got it from, and all cops. He went to the cops and said, when you read them rights, where do you read them? He didn't write it. He got it, and I want to know where they got it from.
Okay.
We don't have that part of the answer.
And
excellent on Jack Webb, yeah.
And let's go to a call.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Oh, thank you. It's Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
All right, let's clean that cereal aisle. Klondike Pete was Crunchy Nuggets.
No.
Ooh.
It was something like that. Linus the Lionhearted was Crispy Critters.
That is correct.
And it was like the only... you had a question a long time ago. It was like the first cartoon that was canceled by the FCC because they felt was just like one long serial ad.
Right. Which, of course, it was.
And it's on YouTube, too, which is great. Cornelius The Rooster was Kellogg's Corn Flakes.
Right.
And Diggum the Frog was Honey Smacks.
Right. Honey, yeah. Sugar, I think they were called Sugar Smacks at the time.
They tried to eliminate the word sugar in
right.
all the...
Now they're called Honey Smacks.
Now they're called the Honey Smacks.
Right. They're not as good.
Yeah.
They're better when they were called sugar.
They were.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there was just, you know, and then there was the Sugar Corn Pops, which I think got changed to something else, too. It was, yeah, all those fine, safe nutritional reasons. But I think that's it, and we're done.
Okay, thank you.
Right, bye.
Did you see the guest on the board there for your
I did. Special? It's not Hank Aaron, and though El Paso seems like a pretty good guest tonight.
El Paso is the correct answer.
Oh, there
very
you
good.
Go.
For the largest American city beginning with E, it is El Paso, 683,000. Right. Now we're only looking for Y.
Okay, Y.
Yeah.
That's not Youngstown. We've
not
established
Youngstown.
That.
It is not.
Okay, and it's not Hank Aaron. I know that. The athlete on the Wheaties box. Okay.
Babe Ruth.
This being Pride Day, I'm going to give you some gay literary characters. I want you to tell me the book they are from, the novel. One guess each. Again, these are gay literary characters in well-known English or American novels. Number one, Jack Twist. Number two, David Giovanni. Number three, Luis Molina. Number four, Eleanor Eastlake. And number five, Alec Scudder. Again, these are gay literary characters in either English or American novels. Number one, Jack Twist. Number two, David Giovanni. Number three, Luis Molina. Number four, Eleanor Eastlake. And number five, Alec Scudder. One guess each.
I'm thinking.
All right.
I'm okay. Deferring to, I'm waiting for our studio audience to Kara.
How do I not know any of these?
They're all quite well-known novels.
Is that David Giovanni, Giovanni's Room?
That is correct.
All right. Nice.
Thank you to our studio
all
audience
right.
for that.
Yes.
I did not get that.
David Giovanni is Giovanni's Room.
Yes.
So we're still looking for Jack Twist, Luis Molina, Eleanor Eastlake, and Alec Scudder.
Are any of their names in the title?
No.
So it's not Oliver Twist.
No, right? It is not Oliver Twist. No. And tell me what, those are gay characters from what novels? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Oh, great. Okay. This is John from Stinson Beach.
Hi.
Y Cities, Ypsilanti, Michigan?
It is not.
Yuma, Arizona?
That's third, not first.
Okay. I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm here in Stinson Beach, what is the link between the March to the Sea and Stinson Beach?
March to the Sea. Do you mean as in the Sherman's March to the Sea in the Civil
exactly.
War?
Exactly. Yep.
What is the link? Okay.
Is it something in the names of Stinson?
Nope.
All right. Is it something lengthwise or geographical?
Well, it's geographical in the sense that he connects these two places, but the question is how.
And it's the Stinson Beach, the one you're at in California. It's not a different
correct.
One, right? Yeah. How's the weather?
Nice.
Foggy. Sherman's March to the Sea and Stinson Beach.
Well, it's the person. It's the connection.
Okay. And it's not somebody named Stimson?
No.
And it's not somebody named Sherman?
No.
Okay.
But he had a pretty diverse life.
Sherman?
Yep.
Okay. Well, Sherman... Was that Sheridan or Sherman? Was Sherman... anything to do with Sherman being... Wasn't he the commander at the Presidio?
That I don't know, but he ran a bank for a while in San Francisco.
Ah, okay.
Really?
But that's not it.
No, there's something more direct.
More direct. Did he have a house
yeah.
in Stinson Beach?
No.
Okay. Did he own property there?
No.
So you sound like you're very disappointed in us, and we're getting further and further away from the answer.
Did it have something to do with his banking business?
No, I can tell you if you want.
All right, go ahead.
So he was shipwrecked on his way to San Francisco to take the job on ship called the SS Lewis, which ran aground on Duxbury Reef. They said Duxworth, but I think it was Duxbury Reef, which is near Bolinas. And they ferried all the passengers to Stinson Beach.
Huh.
And then he got on a wood ferry or a wood freighter at Stinson to try to get help. And that boat overturned at the mouth of the bay. So he had to be rescued from that boat as well. So he was shipwrecked twice in one day.
So what year was this?
Let's see, 1853.
Okay.
All right. So, and then 11 years later, of course, he was leading the Union Army across Georgia. And on December 21st, he sent to communicate at Abraham Lincoln and said, "I beg to present you as a Christmas gift the city of Savannah."
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great tale.
First example of total war, I guess.
Yeah. You know,
what he did down there.
It's a good question. I'm sorry we didn't do justice to it.
Well, that's great. I appreciate this show very much, and thanks for letting me on.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hey, Tom.
Hi. Is the state median age younger? Is that Nevada?
It is not. It is a western state. It is a western state.
I want to. It's not California, Oregon, and Nevada.
It is not California, Oregon, or Nevada.
It's a Washington.
No, and there is a very specific economic reason for it.
Is it Montana?
It is not Montana. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on you, Tom. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I can wait. I'm politer than some people.
than me, I guess.
Oldest Nobel literature winner, did you get that yet?
Not yet.
Is it Doris Lessing?
It is.
Good.
She was 88 years old when she won in 2007. Thank you. That's great.
You're welcome. The Vegas high-paid female, is that Diana Ross?
Nope.
Oh, good guess, though.
Great guess.
Very good guess.
And still wrong.
And it's probably not Dinah Shore, right? That's too late for that.
Not Dinah Shore, nope.
Not Dinah Shore.
When Dinah Shore ruled the earth.
Is Jack Twist from a beat period?
No, not a beat period.
Oh, okay. Then I have no idea. Busby, did you get that already?
No.
No? Is that Honeycomb?
No, you're partially right.
Honey Nut?
Yes, Honey Nut Cheerios.
Honey Nut Cheerios.
Okay, I'll give you each credit for that.
And I believe Chip the Wolf is the name of the guy on the Quaker oatmeal box.
It is not Quaker. Let me rephrase that. I don't know if Quaker made this cereal, but that's not the cereal anyway.
Ah, shoot. He looks like a Chip the Wolf. Okay. I'll take some guesses. Bijou Kiss?
Nope.
No? It's plate face?
It's a body part, but no, not the face.
Oh, okay. But?
Nope, keep going down.
No. Back of the knee? I don't know.
Still farther down.
Foot?
Feet. That's right. It's from a Cockney rhyme slang for plates of meat. So,
are your feet?
Yes, your plates or your meat or your feet.
Okay.
Not buying it.
Okay. I read the first Camp All American pageant was held in 1967 in New York. And you guess who the four judges were?
So, I'm sorry, what was the name of the pageant again?
The Camp All American.
Oh, the Camp All American. Okay.
And what year? 67?
Yeah.
So, camp. By that you mean
kitschy.
Rip Taylor,
right?
Maybe?
Kitschy.
It was drag.
Yeah, drag. Okay,
yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
It wasn't. Just wanted to make sure it wasn't.
There was just
a Boy Scout thing.
A film of it that was re-released.
Okay,
so how was Warhol? Andy Warhol?
Yeah, Warhol.
That's good.
Oh, very good. Yeah, 67. Yeah. 67. Were they any of them performers?
No, not really. Not known as performers. One did some performing, but was not primarily known.
Were they?
One was an artist, one was the Academy Award nominated writer, and one was a journalist, writer.
All men?
All New Yorkers.
All men?
All men.
Oh, you said all New Yorkers, so not Patrick Dennis?
Yeah, all kind of associated with New York, definitely.
Okay, so not Patrick Dennis?
Not Patrick Dennis.
Were they known as being gay? At some point?
No.
Okay.
No, not necessarily. Not really.
But they were all prominent.
But very, progressive types of people.
Yeah. Tom Wolfe?
No, but you're in kind of the right area.
David Susskind?
No.
It wouldn't have been Norman Mailer, would it have been?
No.
No.
I'm just thinking of outrageous guesses.
67.
We need a hint when looking at the Academy Award nominated writer.
Not Gore Vidal. Oh,
Tom Stoppard?
But who was nominated for Kubrick film. That'll probably give it away.
Ken Casey?
Ken Casey?
No.
He's not New York.
Oh, yeah. True.
A Kubrick film. So.
No, you better fill in the blank.
That's Arthur C. Clarke.
Okay, well, Larry Rivers is the artist who is probably most obscure. Terry Southern is.
Terry Southern. Okay, that I know.
And George Plimpton is the other.
He was always game for anything.
Yeah. Terry Southern was nominated for Academy Award, huh? For
Dr.
Strangelove.
Yeah, for Dr. Strangelove.
Right. Very good.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
We need a hint on the Queen of Las Vegas. Yellen?
Okay, sure. She must have wanted to headline at the Aladdin for $100,000 a week because that's what she got.
Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi, yes. I would guess Joan Rivers.
No, that's a good guess, but nope.
For the Vegas. Okay. For the state with the youngest, would that be North Dakota?
It is North Dakota. Boom? Very good, because of the oil fracking industry. People move there.
Okay, and I have one more. Bijou, I think that means little.
That's absolutely correct.
Can I ask, did you happen to hear that on a podcast called The Illusionist by any chance?
No.
They had a wonderful cover presentation on Polari.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so glad that they did. It's such an interesting slang, and I'm glad that it's not completely dying out. That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Polari.
Also number one, sung by the Queen of Las Vegas.
All right, time
whatever,
to clean up.
Whatever she wants, she gets.
Lola.
There we go. Lola Falana is the Queen of Las Vegas.
Not that all surprises right. me.
So for the rest of the Polari words, Bona is good, Dolly is pretty, Ecaf, that's backwards face, the word face backwards. Naf means bad. Omi means man. Palone means woman. And zhuzh is to tweak or finesse.
Nice.
When you zhuzh your hair.
Oh, okay. Yes, Lori.
The largest city in the United States that begins with the letter Y is Yonkers, New York, with 200,000 people.
Right.
That's the only one we didn't get. And the story, we got Doris Lessing there. The story of reading your rights, what they were. The county district attorney in Nevada named Harold Berliner, as a side business, he had a printing business, and he saw this opportunity. So he had he wrote them down as he thought they should be. He had them printed on the back of cards. He sent them to every law enforcement agency in the United States, who then ordered thousands of copies of these to be printed up and sold. So it was his second business, and then Jack Webb took it up in 1967. And that's when it became even more popular and well-known.
Yeah.
The
advertising characters Klondike Pete are Golden Nuggets, Golden Nuggets cereal, and Chip the Wolf Cookie Crisp.
Of course.
Lou Gehrig is the other athlete.
Oh, and I think he was the first athlete on.
He was. So 1934 and 1992.
Did you say Lou Gehrig, but you didn't guess Lou Gehrig, and that's why you didn't get
correct.
The bell?
That's a really...
And the gay literary
I'll be filing a protest after
the
show.
The gay literary character. Jack Twist is from Brokeback Mountain. Luis Molina is from
Kiss of the Spider Woman.
Very good. Eleanor Eastlake, also known as Lakey, is the lesbian from The Group. Mary McCarthy's book. Alex Scudder is from Morris, is the lover in Morris. So, if we didn't get to your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. My thanks to our panel tonight. That would be Kira Pace, technical editor, and, of course, Lori Fisher, teacher at Dabo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. My thanks to Joanne Marr for handling the board and phone tonight. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. Happy Pride Day. Take care. Bye-bye.